Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hitchcock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Wars. James wrote in James chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of James chapter 4, starting in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Verse 3. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. The word wars in Strong's is number 4171. It means to bustle. Warfare, literally or figuratively, a single encounter or a series, like in a battle, a fight or war. The word fightings in Strong's is number 3163. It comes from another word, which means a battle. That is figuratively controversy, fighting, strife or striving. The Jewish converts found themselves in a holy war that they could not win with human effort or reasoning. They were also fighting each other, seeking things for the sake of their flesh in countries where they were scattered. Contention and strife was manifesting through the desires of the flesh. The devil got access because the believers were not taking every thought to God in prayer and getting His instructions. James wrote in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I'm reading James chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. When an issue due to pressure comes to the surface, it's an opportunity to repent. Others will have to repent sooner or later of the same issues if they're following Christ. You are in a race on the narrow way to get all your faith directed into God, removing lies you believe, trying to come to the truth using your mind. The new converts started thinking about what they had lost, the comfortable life they left behind in Jerusalem, and not about their eternal inheritance through the gospel. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of James chapter 1, starting in verse 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on pages 5 and 6, Joseph Hitchcock writes, when you hear a truth, you cannot believe it until you first quit believing the lie you already believe to be truth. Once you recognize the lie and choose to stop believing it, your faith returns to you, and you can release it into the truth. This is how you rescue yourself from the snares of the devil. When you release your faith into a thought or idea, you give it the authority to be activated in your life. The author behind what you believe is either God or Satan. It is so important to be careful about what you believe. Your faith can be a blessing or it can be a curse. It depends on what or who you release your faith into. Spend quality time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, asking him to purify your faith by exposing the lies you believe to be truth. This will be time well spent. Those Jewish converts still in Jerusalem were in a self-created wilderness without godly wisdom and could not rejoice. They only had knowledge and some experience of following Christ and were not content. The church scattered had no reason in the natural to rejoice. They'd been rejected by their own people. But by giving the good confession in the face of persecution, God chose them to spread the gospel and talk about the cost of following Christ in other nations. Called by God, they had to slow down and examine their fruit and repent. James wrote in James chapter 3, verses 12, and reading to verse 18. This is James chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. As this world passes away, the fruit of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit will manifest in your life. You need godly wisdom. Earthly wisdom appeals to those who have a confidence in the flesh. If you listen to the dreams of others or start thinking of your own desires for a good life, be careful you're not drawn away by the lusts of the flesh. Earthly wisdom is devilish, as it can be used by anyone to live a comfortable life without repentance from dead works. There will be no peace on earth until the devil is locked up. But you can have the peace of God now that passes all understanding by following the dictates of the Spirit. The fruit of seeking righteousness is a peace that passes all understanding, so you can help others. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20. Where is the wise, and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Earthly wisdom has an expiry date on it. Use it in moderation, because those not learning uncomfortable lessons now, denying self and taking up their cross daily, will get behind spiritually. Get on the narrow way, trusting God with all your heart. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 11. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9. But they that would be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. The word godliness in Strong's is number 2150. It comes from another word which means piety. Specifically, the gospel scheme, godliness or holiness. Carnal Christians seek a peace and joy and wisdom apart from God, based on earthly gain. Rescuing the lives of those you were sent to help is easy with godly wisdom. Paul explained that godliness and contentment at a lower standard of living to those around you is great gain. Seeking anything in this world is proof that you have the wrong priorities. The children of godly Christian families in a first world country have been lost to the world, not getting things that other children have around them before the time is right. Paul continued in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou was also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Use the gift of eternal life right up to the end of your life on earth and be faithful. Fight to do the perfect will of God. Resist the temptation to do anything just because you see something and desire to have it. There should be nothing in your home you went to buy without God directing you to buy it. You do not need the things of the world unless God says. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm reading verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. If you ask God, am I allowed to have something, you're asking the wrong question. You will hear God saying that all things are possible. You might believe it's God's perfect will for you to have what you want without asking God any more questions. If your heart is hard, without a strong enough foundation, you'll be drawn away by the lust of your flesh and go back to making more decisions without asking God. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 19. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. God is not the problem. Through being born again, you can choose him as Lord and let him make all the decisions. By doing what you want, when you want, you become a prisoner again to this world, and the wages of sin is death. You became creatures of truth through being born again by the Spirit. Losing your joy and getting angry and not hearing God easily is evidence you have departed from the truth and need to repent of dead works. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. A dead work is any work that the Holy Spirit did not tell you to do. Paul was writing to the Jews left behind in Jerusalem. A spiritual war with the devil is not won by knowing the principles of the doctrine of Christ. To overcome, you have to be a doer of the word by obeying the Spirit consistently, like a little child with a solid foundation on the narrow way. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. This is in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Jesus did not use his divine nature to do any miracles. He only did the works the Father directed him to do. Christ is above all principality and power now, and cannot be corrupted. But you can by listening to the lust of the flesh. Now by grace, seek things above by getting on the narrow way. It's easier to do everything by grace with the gift of eternal life when you're sitting right next to the Son of Man who overcame and sat down in his kingdom to help you. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. This is Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God at salvation by humbling yourself and asking God to forgive your sins, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his perfect will and have all wisdom and a spiritual understanding. By making the decisions again with your mind, you're not living in the light, and will be controlled by the flesh. Paul also wrote in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Verse 3. And this we will do if God permit. More knowledge of the doctrines of Christ will not stop you from sinning. There is always more than what you received at salvation. But you'll not have ears to hear without your faith being purified. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 32. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm reading verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Chapter 9, The Importance of Lordship, on pages 149 to 150, Joseph Hitchcock writes, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, every son the Father receives is chastened and scourged. Study the Greek definitions of chastened and scourged. Let the Spirit show you how important this work is. Some people ask, how do I know if I'm saved or not? If God, through the Holy Spirit, does not correct you, you are not his. If you can do any kind of abominable sin and it does not bother you, then the Spirit of God is not in you. If he is in you, he will always resist your flesh. No chastening seems pleasant at the time. Hebrews 12:11. In fact, it seems rather unpleasant, but afterwards, when you have been exercised by it, the peaceable fruit of righteousness will be produced. There are consequences for the choices you make. You must wake up to this truth. The most serious choice you make is whether or not you will yield to Jesus Christ as your Lord. The refusal to submit is the root of every other decision you make. Every bad decision, sin, and problem in your life is the result of your lordship. Deciding to follow Jesus changes every part of your life from the trivial to the most important. You can spend the rest of your life in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, trying to be good. At best, you will only pick the fruit or prune the tree a bit, which will produce more fruit. You cannot destroy the root of a tree while living in the tree. The act of humbling yourself sets the axe to the root of pride. You cannot repent of pride. You must humble yourself. Yes, you can confess a particular sin, but it will never go away until you humble yourself. Yield to Jesus' lordship and repent of what he shows you. Then you must bring forth fruits, meat of repentance. Acts 26:20. Maintaining this decision will remove the satanic accesses and sinful habits. The root is not destroyed simply because you say you have repented. Many of you say the right words, but you only move from the evil side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to the good side of the same tree. You say Jesus is your Lord, but life says he is not. When you change from being a bad Lord to a good Lord, all you do is deceive yourself. Many of you have struggled with this for years because you will not bow to the lordship of Jesus with your whole heart. You have been sorry for your sin, but you have not repented of your sin. Repentance is not being sorry you got caught. It is turning around and going the opposite direction. You have not changed trees. If you do change trees through repentance, you may move back into the flesh as soon as your flesh or Satan tempts you. At some point, you must think like a soldier. The devil is your enemy. The flesh is your enemy. It's time to get in the spirit and battle against the flesh, because Satan is using it to deceive you, steal from you, and destroy what God has planned for you. Do not ignore conviction and correction for doing what you want without asking God. You should be going on to perfection now that you have accepted Christ as Lord of your life, or you'll be condemned with the world. Those in the body of Christ being chastened by Jesus again and again are still babies. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:1-5. This is Philippians 4, I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labour with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The word yoke fellow in Strong's is number 4805. It comes from another word which means co-yoke. That is, figuratively as a noun, a colleague, probably rather as a proper name, a Christian or yoke fellow. It is your responsibility to yoke yourself to Christ. The pastor or leader cannot do this for you. Everyone in the work of the gospel needs to stand fast, as you will lose something in this world following Christ. You lose your joy if you have not repented deeply. Those yoked to Christ do everything in moderation in this world. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. I'm reading Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. But now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, to fulfil the lust thereof. Those who make a provision for the flesh, to do what they want, when they want, consult their own will. They lean to their own understanding, and are never ready for the unexpected. Those with the armour of light are coming to the truth, and don't make the same mistake twice. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is logical now for you to be in different trials involving some emotional and mental pressure in these last days. Paul was on the narrow way, proving God's perfect will, whenever he saw God delivering him consistently. If God delivers you into a trial or difficulty, and you trust him with all your heart, he will also deliver you out. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. The word charge in Strong's is number 3853. This comes from some other words which means to transmit a message, that is, by implication, to enjoin or give in, charge, give a commandment or command or declare. Paul was heading up the war effort with a charge from the Lord, telling everyone that the Father can quicken or bring back anything or anyone from the dead following Christ on the narrow way. The faith of Christ is the belief that God will make a way where there seems no way. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verses 1 to 5. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honour, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Verse 2, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Verse 5, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. The Jews, used by the Lord to spread the gospel, were earning a basic wage for their own families in different countries, where they were scattered. Paul told them to be content wherever God put them and give a testimony of God's provision. They were not to take any initiative to improve their living conditions by taking matters into their own hands, even if they were slaves. He told Timothy not to to work with anyone teaching that earthly gain and a comfortable life was a sign of faithfulness. Paul also wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. The stage is set for a serious climax in the spiritual war between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. It's not unusual for normal services to be suspended or interrupted, and food to be rationed during heavy warfare as this world passes away. Will his people be like soldiers in the climax of the war? A soldier does not make any decisions based on discontentment or a change of personal circumstances. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 13. Enter in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Your needs will be met on the narrow way, even when your life is always under pressure. Your rest and provision comes from doing the will of the Father if you're born again. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. You need to seek righteousness or sin will separate you from God. Do not compare yourself to anyone else. You have grace to do what Jesus asked you to do for him. In any situation, the flesh manifesting shows a level of corruption that is still in you. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul had no imperfections, but they'd all been removed on the narrow way. Seeking righteousness. Those who believe with their whole heart Jesus is ruling now obey him by the Spirit instantly. Paul had relied on God to provide a way of escape for him many times and saw no reason to stay on earth once his mission was complete. Even death has lost its sting through obedience to the Spirit. David wrote in the Psalms, chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. This is in the Psalms, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Verse 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhors. Verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. God is not hiding. Now Jesus has given his people the gift of eternal life. To ask God what to do and be faithful. Those who are wicked do not use times of trouble to examine themselves and seek God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 verses 3 to 6. This is Matthew's Gospel chapter 5 and reading verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Abraham Lincoln was an American lawyer, politician, and statesman who served as the 16th President of the United States from 1861 until his assassination in 1865. Lincoln led the Union through the American Civil War to defend the nation as a constitutional union and succeeded in abolishing slavery, bolstering the federal government, and modernizing the U.S. economy. In one battle he was fighting in the American Civil War, he was suffering severe casualties. His captain said to him, "We need God on our side." Abraham Lincoln turned to his captain and said, "No, we just need to be on God's side. The kingdom of God is here now for God's people who want to hear, trust, and obey in meekness." If you are using your mind to make decisions based on the knowledge of right and wrong, you're on the losing side. It's not too late to change sides. Following Christ means you do not compare yourself with anyone else. You repent when others are not repenting. Endure when others are relaxing. Jesus is Lord and he decides everything. By representing your own interests, you will lose. David wrote in the Psalms, chapter 31, verses 19 to 24. This is in the Psalms, chapter 31, I'm reading verse 19. "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for men that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Verse 20. "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Verse 21. "Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." Verse 22. "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou hast heard the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee." Verse 23. "Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer." Verse 24. "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Develop a good habit of asking God what he wants you to do. When he answers immediately, you know your foundation is still holding under pressure. You can even ask God for refreshing if you are busy or traveling or need something on the narrow way. You will grow rapidly following Christ, and mysteries that were previously hidden be revealed to you on the narrow way and not to others. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 26. "Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Verse 28. "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Verse 29. "Whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." The word saints in Strong's is number 40. Compared to some other words, it means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless or religious, ceremonially consecrated, most holy. A saint. By grace through faith, Christ is alive and well in all those who do what he says instantly by the Spirit, in a level of pressure, and do not compromise. Live controlled by the Spirit now, and your life will always bring glory to God in this world, with his power working mightily in you. There'll be an open battle soon between the most subtle and clever creature God ever created and the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God wins because one with God is a majority. Afterwards, the devil will be locked up. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, I'm reading verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. Verse 8. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. At the end, the devil will recruit a huge army of people with a confidence in the flesh to come against the Lamb of God that still want to make the decisions themselves using the knowledge of good and evil. Democracy is popular today because it allows the people to decide on leaders they want to have in many different countries. It keeps out dictators, but without God's standards, it is devilish. Through voters serving two masses, compromising on righteousness, even in the body of Christ. James wrote in James chapter 1, verse 12. This is in the book of James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Not everyone will receive the crown of life. This is given to those who do not let anything get between them and their relationship with God. The war is now about who will be your first love at the end. It cannot be anyone else, your pastor, ministry, or money. Warn your spouse now that he or she will never be your first love. We read in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 17. I'm reading verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. The word called in Strong's is number 2822. It comes from another word which means invited, that is appointed, or specifically a saint, a called one. The word chosen in Strong's is 1588, comes another word which means by implication favorite or chosen or elect. The word faithful in Strong's is number 4103. Comes another word which objectively means trustworthy, subjectively trustful, believing or believer, faithful or faithfully sure or true. Three things are required to rule and reign with Christ. You have to be called, chosen, and faithful. Called is an invitation to be part of the kingdom of heaven. Like the Jews, you might be too busy and not accept that offer because your priorities are wrong. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 4 and 5. This is Matthew chapter 22. I'm reading verse 4. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them, which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Verse 5. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. A calling is only an invitation. To accept his invitation and be part of the kingdom of heaven, you have to follow Christ. In the book Manifest the Sons of God by Joseph Hedgecock, there are six steps to the anointing, and called is only the first step. Many will reject the invitation and think they can win some other way without making Jesus Lord. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. This is John chapter 10, I'm reading verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. If you keep asking God and do what God says, you are smarter than the devil. Those sheep following the Lamb of God through the Holy Spirit cannot be removed out of the Father's hand. The devil needs you to desire something for yourself, like Eve did in the Garden of Eden, to get you out. Now, the internet is an easily accessible source of the knowledge of good and evil that man uses to make decisions. Jesus was one with the Father before the cross in his humanity and acknowledged God in all his ways. You can be one with your Heavenly Father too by obeying the Holy Spirit consistently. Jesus said in John 5:30, this is John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. You'll be left behind if you're still making decisions based on emotions, feelings, or what you think is right when Jesus comes back. You can also be like Jesus instead, who never consulted his own will. To consult your own will, you have to use your mind. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, starting in verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as is his little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The word converted in Strong's is number 4762. From another word which means to twist, that is to turn quite around or reverse, literally or figuratively. Convert, turn again, back again. Oneself about. Jesus gave this teaching in response to the disciples asking who is the greatest. Jesus made it clear that the greatest person is the one who's changed and become childlike towards God with no opinions and preconceived ideas. God is not going to change his ways. If you want the pure naked truth, you must lay aside all your agendas at the foot of the cross, including your dreams and desires, humble yourself, confess your sins, to enter the kingdom of heaven now by getting on the narrow way. Jesus continued in Matthew 18, I'm reading verses 5 to 9. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, starting in verse 5. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offences. For it must needs be that offences come. But woe to that man by whom the offence cometh. Verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Verse 9. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Being born again is not enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with the living God. There are two options in this teaching from Jesus. The first choice is become like a little child. The second option is hell, an everlasting fire, if you let anything stop you from becoming like a little child. Time is running out for those who are too proud to have the faith of a little child. Judgment is severe on those who tell others you don't need to ask God everything, and cause those following Christ to use their minds instead. This is what Satan did in the Garden of Eden by tempting Eve. This world is passing away, and the only kingdom that will remain is the kingdom of heaven. To live and function there, you need to become like a little child, building a relationship with your Father in faith by the Spirit. If you make a mistake, just ask God to forgive you and have another go. You have grace to change your operating system and not just say prayers of deliverance and live the way you were before you heard the gospel. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 14 to 16. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 14. That thou keepeth this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 16. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honour and power, everlasting. Amen. The word times in Strong's is number 2540. It's of an uncertain affinity, an occasion that is set, or a proper time. Always an opportunity, convenient due season, or short period of time, a while. We do not overcome our battles in this world by debating and winning political arguments for the kingdom of heaven. Being discontent in this world, you'll not be able to give the good confession. You have access to the highest authority in heaven that lives in the light, that knows what is really going on. You don't need to bother local governments or politicians if you want to get to the truth. Jesus is Lord now by the Spirit. Do you believe? Are you blind to the war that is going on around you? Jesus is the only potentate and ruling now, and it will become clearer as this world passes away. There is a time and a place for everything. God is even using the devil to speed up his own destruction. Time is up for the Gentiles, but God is delaying the judgment for the last few that will come to their senses. Repent and be saved. Jesus did not remove the Romans or send down the fire on the religious Jews at his first coming. If he did, then possibly John the Baptist and Paul would not have had their heads removed while in prison. Be ready for his appearing. Keep the good confession, even when things do not go according to your own idea of how it will all end. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. This is in the book of Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you have received the kingdom of God, you will have peace and joy right up to the end of your life. The kingdom of God has been here since the day of Pentecost for those who want to follow Christ with their whole heart. Peace and joy is available through obedience to the Spirit for about 2,000 years. God's peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, so you can stay in the Spirit. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. This is in the book of Genesis chapter 3, I'm reading verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The serpent, when judged, was made to crawl on his belly in the dust, and the devil lost his rank too. In Christ you can knock the devil in the head. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 16, verse 20 to 24. This is in the book of Romans chapter 16, reading verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Verse 21. Timothy, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sopater, my kinsmen, salute you. Verse 22. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Verse 23. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, salutes you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salutes you, and Quartus, a brother. Verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. God will bruise Satan's ugly head when it pops up. But first, you will need God's peace that passes all understanding established for this to happen. Otherwise, you become anxious, take matters into your own hands, and at a critical moment, mess up God's plan. Keep the grace flowing by humbly asking God everything. With God's grace and peace, you can declare independence from the devil, controlling others through fear. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Verse 15. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Verse 16. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoured the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. The religious Jews, doing dead works, ran out of time when Jesus came the first time. They made it worse by killing their Messiah and resisting the gospel brought to them through the apostles and later Paul. Finally, the Romans leveled the city of Jerusalem to the ground in AD 70 as Christ foretold. Paul continued in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Verse 20. For ye are glory and joy. The word hindered in Strong's is number 1465. It comes from another word which means to be cut into, that is, figuratively to impede, detain, hinder, or be tedious unto. A great battle is described involving Paul, the least of the apostles. The king of Darius had to send their commander-in-chief to stop Paul from reaching Thessaloniki a second time during a period of persecution. The devil could only impede or delay Paul slightly, so that the work was tedious. But this gave light to the fact that the church had applied some of Paul's teachings the first time. You can overcome the devil too, but you will have to suffer for the sake of the gospel first, get godly wisdom, and learn how to fight. James wrote in James chapter 4 and verse 6. This is James chapter 4, I'm reading verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. With grace, you can go through anything. He allows, but he cannot give that same amount of grace to the world because they are not humble. In this case, it's better for you to suffer as a soldier of Jesus Christ, as others will be destroyed without God's help. The kingdom of God is not a political power removing those that still have a chance to repent. The righteousness of God is available to men and women everywhere that are born again by the Spirit through the faith of Christ. Those who want to keep using their minds to make decisions will perish. You may not be doing anything evil under a low level of pressure, but you are committing the sin of omission by not asking the Lord what to do every day. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, I'm reading verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, verse 8, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The devil is the accuser of the brethren, following Christ, making people feel guilty and foolish for doing what they are told to do by the Spirit like a little child. You will need the power of Christ to win this war. You get power by denying yourself consistently and taking up your cross daily. In heaven, the devil was telling angels day and night how nothing amazing happened by immediately following God's instructions and caused one third of them not to reappear at the throne of God anymore in front of the Father. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 to 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. He is your new navigation system, leading you away from those golden-looking opportunities in this world you cannot handle now. Do not be discouraged. He can lead you to those resources you need representing him. He is the one that is supposed to feed you every day. He does this through the communication system and you being in the right place at the right time. If anyone else provides for you regularly and is not ordained of God, you will never be free. God has the battle plan. You need to fight to keep your communication system working. You do not need to remind him with a long shopping list. The correct strategy is for his name to be hallowed on earth as it is in heaven, and his will to be done. Check you are doing his perfect will on earth that brings peace to you and others. Anything else is just dead works. The devil cannot stop God's perfect will being done. We all saw that at the cross. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, I'm reading verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward unhungry. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Verse 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word proceedeth in Strong's is number 1607. It comes from some other words which means to depart or be discharged, proceed, project, come forth, come out of, or depart from, or to proceed out of. The greatest asset is the word that comes out of the Father's mouth for your life personally. Do you believe? You should obey every instruction from the Father, even when his provision is not immediate. Hearing God when you are hungry and tired, like a good soldier, should be part of your testimony following Christ. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 21, I'm reading to verse 28. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, starting verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26. But what is a man profiteth, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Jesus was speaking about the kingdom of God coming at the end and how it is now. Jesus had to suffer and die for the kingdom of God to come on earth. Jesus did not become the authority with his own ideas or use any divine authority to remove the devil. He let the Father deal with the devil in his own way and was like a lamb led to the slaughter, right up to the cross. In the kingdom of heaven, you get honored with an opportunity by grace through faith and repentance from dead works to represent him in the same way. Do not mess it up. You'll be tempted to use your mind based on an interpretation of the written word to satisfy the lust of the flesh. You have no authority if you are not submitted to God through the Holy Spirit. The devil does not want anyone to become like a living sacrifice or live like lambs or little children, because they will win. The devil wants everyone to have a confidence in the flesh. Those on the winning side are denying themselves and taking up their cross daily. Denying yourself means you do not listen to your own ideas. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm reading verse 18. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. He is in charge and he knows what he's doing. Jesus is coming soon for his bride. Time is running out for everyone to establish a solid foundation of asking God everything. Stop using your mind to make decisions. Your life should already be under some pressure following Christ. You may be able to deny yourself, to obey the Spirit for a season, and then go back to the flesh. If this is the case, you need repentance from dead works. Peter was a fisherman, following Jesus in the big city of Jerusalem, far from Galilee. Matthew had gone from collecting taxes for the Romans to living by faith. The disciples looked very foolish, but understood following Christ is an amazing privilege. James wrote in James chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. This is in the book of James, chapter 4. I'm reading verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 12, Practical Applications, on page 145, Joseph Hedgecott writes, each phase of maturity has a different level of difficulty. Pressure can be your friend or your enemy, depending on how you process it. Your flesh will put pressure on you to move you out of the Spirit. In the flesh, you resort to either fight or flight. You either resist the pressure or run away from it. This is the natural reaction. However, if you're in the Spirit rather than the flesh, you ask the Lord what He wants you to do. He may say to leave the pressure or stand against it. The devil loves to use pressure to provoke you into moving out of the Spirit. He wants you to judge life situations and respond from your natural mind, which moves you out of the Spirit. After Jesus died on the cross, the devil was kicked out of heaven, and his headquarters are now on earth. The war that started nearly 2,000 years ago should be raging on the earth, but the church has been neutralized. Spiritual adultery is serious. The church moved from the winning side, acknowledging God in all her ways, to the losing side. God wants all of your faith, not some of it, living on the narrow way. What you do under pressure is what you believe in your heart anyway, and it gives you a chance to repent if your faith is misdirected. We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 25. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. Having any friendships in this world for the sake of your flesh is behaving like Judas Iscariot. He did not find a place of repentance after betraying Jesus for earthly gain and a friendship with the religious leaders. Judas Iscariot did not put Jesus on the cross directly, but he let the devil use him to do it. Social media is a way that you can make a lot of unnecessary friendships with the world and betray Christ today. By choosing the religious Jews seeking outward righteousness, Judas Iscariot betrayed Christ. Do not let the devil use you in the same way, serving two masters. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, I'm reading verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Verse 5. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. God has been faithfully sending preachers of righteousness to wake up his people in these last days, to give them another chance to repent deeply. when God sends someone to help you repent of dead religious works that you do without asking God, first confess your sin. They may ask, did the Lord tell you to do that? God can use anyone or any situation to help you. You will always need God's grace that appeared at salvation to repent deeply of any unrighteousness. James wrote in James chapter 2 and verse 5. This is in the book of James chapter 2. I'm reading verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? You will need a diet of strong messages full of conviction to not get behind spiritually. God's ways are higher than man's ways. He has given us the gift of eternal life to understand and get to know him and become fully acquainted with him and his ways. Jesus is the tree of life that should be in the center of your spiritual garden, not the internet. Use social media infrequently if needed, and worldly wisdom in moderation. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. The word destroy in Strong's is number 622. It comes from some other words which mean to destroy fully, to cause to perish or lose, literally or figuratively, to destroy, die, lose, mar or perish. Jesus is Lord, and when the internet crashes, the church that is carnal is going to complain. This world will distract you and make you forget about asking God everything and get you to be logical and sensible instead. The Antichrist spirit is in the church today, and this world will tell you that doing good works is enough to please God. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, verses 20 to 25. This is in the book of Romans chapter 7. I'm reading verse 20. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. If you are carnal, you will not know how to fight. The devil is a bully. He picks on those who do not know how to fight. But as soon as you learn how to fight, he runs away. He keeps you ignorant by encouraging you to think you have all the information and you do not need to ask God. Paul discovered that the devil was using the carnal nature to defeat him. Paul knew personally from following Jesus that the devil got access to his flesh, so it had to die. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. I'm reading Colossians chapter 2 in verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, whereon also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You can be more than a conqueror in Christ by burying your flesh so deep that you take no initiative to do anything in troubled times. Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave without lifting a finger, striving, or doing anything to save himself. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and reading verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. On God's side, you will win every time if you listen, trust, and obey. There's no wrestling or thinking involved. The flesh is dead and inactive in those satisfied with God's perfect will for their own lives. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I mean verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Jesus won the victory on the cross and did it openly, center stage in front of the devil, who did not realize he was losing his grip on all mankind. All Christ did was to obey the Father step by step. And you can do this too with the mind of Christ. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm reading verses 8 to 13. This is Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Verse 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Every day is an evil day in this world. You need to fight to hear the Lord clearly in the morning, even if you are tired. In the spiritual realm, you cannot always see your enemy coming. So Paul said, put on the whole armor. Be strong in asking the Lord what to do, for the enemy can come through others using earthly wisdom, staying up late, or through friendships in this world that you do not need. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 12. I'm reading verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. The word of the sea in Revelation 12:12 is a reference to the nations who believe that democracy works. The road to victory is only a mystery to carnal Christians who are not willing to deny themselves and take up their cross daily. Those left behind the tribulation will have to use the blood of Jesus just like everyone else. They will have to confess their sins to get back in Christ. But to get the victory over the devil, they will also have to give the good confession and a testimony of hearing God personally in situations without accepting the mark of the beast. They will overcome by not loving their lives unto death. In the Living Bible, 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight on for God, hold tightly to the eternal life that God has given you, and that you have confessed with such a ringing confession before many witnesses. What will you yield your members to as pressure increases? You can have the right attitude to challenges, but only win by asking the Lord before your day starts. There is a saying, the ounce of prevention is better than the pound of cure. The battle belongs to him. Those who have a confidence in the flesh are doing dead works, fighting battles they cannot win in spiritualized flesh. There is nothing too hard for the Lord, so you need to stay on his side. He's on the winning side. Do not ask him to come to your side, but get on his side. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 11. It is a faithful saying that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. To be a soldier, you must be prepared to die. At Remembrance Sunday, once a year in the UK, a war is remembered where many gave their lives for peace and security on earth. Paul gave up his life for the gospel of peace in Rome. He lost many things following Christ, but it was all just temporal. To live, rule, and reign with him for all eternity, you have to yield to the Spirit consistently under pressure. If you deny Jesus being Lord of your life now, he will deny you entrance into the kingdom when he appears. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, starting in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. At the end of the tribulation, only sheep and goats will remain. You become a lamb at salvation. To become a sheep, you have to hear and follow Christ consistently. Those not ready for his appearing will pass through the tribulation. Sheep get their food from listening to their heavenly Father all the time. Goats typically eat anything to survive in times of trouble. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works where you do not have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It is signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about wars, and there is a battle going on here on this earth. There is propaganda being put out by the devil all the time. You can overcome the devil now by being buried with Christ and hating even your own life, losing your rights and giving up your right to ever choose again. Truth does not change with time. So submit to those God has sent to help you spiritually and hear his voice accurately, clearly. Making Jesus Lord is the only decision you need to make and not change your mind later under pressure. If you do not put yourself completely in the hands of your Heavenly Father following Christ, you'll be confounded, controlled by your own mind, feelings, and emotions, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. If you're like that, you have been neutralized. Repent, humble yourself, and ask God to forgive you and make a fresh start and get on that narrow way. Let me pray. Father in heaven, you know there are saints listening to this message and they want to be winners. They want to overcome. And you have promised the victory to those who trust in you, those who seek righteousness in complicated situations. And Father, I pray you strengthen them now that they believe the truth that you are transmitting your perfect will for their lives in every situation. And they will not listen to another voice, to your voice, and do what you say under pressure. And but Father, through it, the devil will not be able to pluck them out of your hand ever again. I pray in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.